بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge, benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. There is a very important topic that many people ask about, pertaining to the one who converts to Islam. Once a person who is a non-Muslim by descent embraces Islam, should we call such a person a convert or a revert? First of all, we need to understand this terminology. When we say to convert, meaning to change from one state into another state, that's the conversion. When you convert from one state to another state, we say about this situation, this person has converted from this state into another state. However, to revert, meaning someone was in a state, he converted to another state, then he went back to the first state, that's a revert. He reverted to his original state. That's the revert. When we talk about the one who embraces Islam, who was born from non-Muslim parents, then he realized the truth, then he embraced Islam, we call such a person, he converted to Islam, because he left the religion he was following and he followed the true religion, which is Al-Islam. This misconception that some people are confused about is due to the lack of knowledge about the original state of the person. And it is based on misinterpretation of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, "Kullu mawludin 'ala al-fitrah fa abawahu yuhawwidanihi aw yunassiranihi aw yumajjisanihi." Kullu mawludin 'ala al-fitrah, in another narration, hatta yu'rib 'anhu lisanuhu, meaning until he reaches an age of mental discrimination around 7 lunar years, when such a person is able to understand and comprehend the question, and he would respond properly to that question. So once he becomes in that age, if he is born from Muslim parents, he will remain on this state. If he is born from non-Muslim parents, then if his parents are Jewish, he will adopt the belief and he will become Jewish like them. If they are Christians, he will adopt the beliefs and he will become Christian like them. If his parents are from the Majus, the Magi, those used to worship the fire, he will adopt the belief and become one of them. But everyone is born on the fitra. Fitra meaning the readiness to accept Islam. Fitra doesn't mean he is born Muslim. No, he is born ready to accept Islam. That's the meaning of the hadith. كل مولود على الفطرة. Everyone is born and he is ready to accept Islam. Why he is ready to accept Islam? Because at a point in time, when Adam عليه السلام was sent out of paradise and he descended to earth, all the souls of human beings were stored in the back of Adam, all of them. Then Adam alayhi salam came down to earth and he went to a place near Arafat where people now go to perform Hajj in Mecca. They go to the land of Arafat on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is one of the integrals of Hajj, to be present at the land of Arafah between the Zuhr time, the noon time of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah and the dawn of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Eid. Between that time, to be present in that place for a moment, that is one of the integrals of performing Hajj. Now when you go to perform Hajj and you see people on the land of Arafah, millions gathered from all over the world to perform Hajj, at that time in particular, all of them will be in that place. But in other places, you won't see them as crowded as on the land of Arafah, because they will be performing tawaf, meaning circumambulating the Kaaba, not all of them at the same time. Some may do the tawaf in the morning, some in the middle of the day, some in the afternoon, some after Maghrib, sunset, some later at night, and so on. But being present at the land of Arafah, you see all those pilgrims gathered on that place. Now, near to Arafat, there is a place called Na'man al-Araq. Na'man al-Araq. In that land, close to Arafah, Adam alayhi salam was there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all the souls to be taken out of the back of Adam alayhi salam. All of the souls, all our souls were stored in the back of Adam, because Allah created the souls before creating the bodies. And they were stored in the back of Adam. When they were ordered out of the back of Adam, the shapes were very small in the size of the small red ants. So all of them were gathered on that land. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to testify that no one is God except Allah. The angel told these souls, your Lord says, who is your Lord? And they all testified saying, no one is God but Allah. Even the souls of the non-believers were amongst them. The soul of the Pharaoh of Egypt was amongst them. So the souls of the non-believers in this life, at that time, all confessed that no one is God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all testified that no one is God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then these souls were taken to a place between earth and the sky, between the earth and the sky. Now, when the fetus is forming inside his mother's womb, and upon the completion of 4 months, the angel in charge of wombs will bring that soul, based on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that specific soul to that fetus, to that baby inside the womb. He places the soul inside that baby, that when the baby becomes with body and soul. Before 4 months, it's a growing fetus, but without soul. As we mentioned before, for 40 days, the fetus remains as a mixture of both seminal liquids. Then for another 40 days, it becomes alaqa, like clotted blood. Then for another 40 days, it becomes mudgha. Mudgha is like a piece of meat. Then the angel will shape her and will place the soul inside this fetus. When the angel is shaping the fetus inside the womb, he will ask, is it male or female? And upon the order he receives from Allah Azza wa Jal, will shape that baby into a baby boy or a baby girl, and places that soul inside that fetus. Will place the soul inside that fetus. Then when the baby is born, he's born knowing nothing, knowing nothing. As Allah Ta'ala said, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. When you come out of the womb of your mothers, you know nothing. So that baby at that age, knowing nothing, we don't say about this baby anything yet. But since his soul one day testified that no one is God except Allah, we say that he is ready to accept Islam, because one day his soul admitted that no one is God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day. That's why in this life, when you meet someone who is non-Muslim and you talk to him about Islam, if this person has an open heart, he will listen carefully and he will find the truth easily. It won't take much time for a person to identify that this is the truth. Plus, he will realize that there is something inside him pushing him towards accepting the truth. Unless he is a stubborn, he can see the truth, but he doesn't want to follow it. That's another story. Because some people, even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they witnessed the miracles. They witnessed the miracles of the Prophet, but despite that, they were stubborn. They were stubborn. They said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if you are a prophet, can you split the moon? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to the moon, and the moon was split in half. One part above the mount of in Mecca, the mount in Mecca, Abi Qubais, one part above it, one part underneath it. They were able to see the moon split in two halves, one above the mountain, one below the mountain. But despite that, and they saw, they witnessed the miracle, they said, no, this is magic. So some who were stubborn did not believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, although they witnessed the miracles by their own eyes. That's called a stubbornness. But the one who is not stubborn, who is searching for the truth, he can see that Islam is the religion that is accepted by the sound mind. Meaning anyone who has a sound mind would realize that the message of Islam is a message that is accepted by the sound mind. It's not something that is illogic. It's not something that doesn't make sense. Everything in Islam makes sense. Everything. For instance, let us briefly mention what Muslims believe. Muslims believe in a creator. the one who created this whole universe, brought it from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. Because logically, any one who has a sound mind would realize that every building needs a builder. Every writing needs a writer. And this universe, for a greater reason, needs a creator. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah means God in English. One of the Bedouin people in the past was asked about the proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to them, once you see, because he's living in the desert, he said, once you see the feces of a camel on the ground, you know that a camel passed by this area and he left that trace behind it. So you know this. So if that is an indication, proof, evidence about the camel, how cannot this whole universe indicate that there must be a creator? So if when you look at this simple thing, you know that there must be a camel that passed by this land. So what about this whole universe? It wouldn't come into existence without a creator. It needs a creator to bring it from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. And the creator does not resemble the creations. So if you look at yourself, you know that you did not exist long time ago. You know that you came into existence. You know for sure that you did not create yourself. Because in order to create yourself, you must be present before yourself to create yourself. And that would entail that you are present before yourself as a creator and after yourself as a creation. And this is impossible. Then you know that I must be created by a creator that does not resemble me. The creator is not a human being. Because those who are similar to each other are susceptible to what could happen to any of them. I'm a human being like you. I get sick, you get sick. I get tired, you get tired. I get sleepy, you get sleepy. I get hungry, you get hungry. I get thirsty, you get thirsty. Same. Whatever could happen to me could happen to you. Why? Because we are similar to each other. So from this proof, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever. So Allah is not a human being. Allah is not an angel. Allah does not resemble any of the creations. Everything in this universe, when you look at it, trees, they are similar to each other. So the creator of the universe cannot be a tree. The creator of the universe cannot be a human being or an animal or an angel. The creator does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever. That's the logic proof. So anyone who has a sound mind would realize that this universe is created. It came into existence. And because it came into existence, it needs a creator that brought it into existence. And the creator does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever. That's the logic proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was mentioned that three atheists wanted to debate with a scholar of Islam. They know he is highly knowledgeable. So every one of them prepared a question and they said that question will make this scholar unable to give an answer. They went to him and they said, we want to debate, we want to ask you questions. Then he asked the first person, what's your question? And he said to him, Can you explain this to me? You claim that there is God, creator for this universe, and I cannot see God. And to me, whatever I cannot see, it means it doesn't exist. The second one said to him, Satan, Iblis, was created from fire, from the pure flame of fire. How he's going to be tortured on the day for judgment with fire, and he's made from fire. The third one said to him, Allah did not will for all human beings to be believers. So why would Allah punish the non-believers on the day for judgment? This scholar reacted quickly. He was so smart. He grabbed a handful of soil from the ground and he threw it at their faces. So every one of them was hurt by the handful of soil that he threw in their faces, and they went to the judge and they complained about this righteous scholar. That judge brought him and brought them. He said, can you explain what happened? Then this scholar said, these three people came with three questions and they asked me, and I gave them the answer. He said, as for the first one, he was claiming that he cannot see God, and to him that means God does not exist. And I say to him, I cannot see the pain he is claiming to have, so why he is complaining to you? Pain cannot be seen, but it exists. Like feeling, feeling cannot be seen, but it exists. So it's not necessary that if you can't see something, that means it doesn't exist. That's not true. So like feelings, pain, happiness, it exists, but it cannot be seen. Then the first one got his answer. He said, as for the second one, he's asking that Satan is created from fire. How will he be tortured with fire on the day for judgment? And I say to him, he as a human being is created from soil. So how did he suffer and get hurt from soil? So as he got hurt from soil, although he is created from soil, Satan will be tortured with fire, although he was created from fire. As for the third one, he's saying that Allah did not will for all human beings to be believers. So that's by the destiny of God. So why will he torture the non-believers on the day for judgment? And I say to this person that what happened to me, throwing the dust, the soil in your face, this is something that was predestined. So why you are complaining to the judge against me for something that was predestined for you to get in this life? So every one of them got his answer with this simple method. And it shows that the one who does not believe in the Creator is the one who is stubborn. Because everything around him indicates the existence of the Creator. Everything. When you look at yourself, you know you are created. You know for sure that your mother did not create you and your father did not create you. Because had you been created by your father, you wouldn't have health problems and you would have been in the best image. But you find some children getting born with diseases, with problems. Did the father want that for his child? No. Did the mother want that for her child? No. So that means the mother and the father are not the creators of this child. And he knows that he didn't create himself, as we explained earlier. So there must be a creator. In other words, or another example, Imagine there is a tourist guide, for instance. He takes people around Sydney to show them about some important places and buildings around Sydney and explain to them about them. He takes a group of tourists to Sydney Harbour Bridge and he says to them, "See this bridge? How magnificent this bridge is. It was built by its own. No workers, no engineers, no one." Suddenly, the Sydney people woke up in the morning and they saw this bridge built from this bank to the other bank. They will laugh at him. They will say to him, "This doesn't make sense. This whole bridge with the amount of steel used to build such a huge structure cannot be built by its own. There must be engineers, workers, and the like. So it doesn't come into existence by itself." They won't accept that this bridge is built by its own. So what about this huge universe? This magnificent universe, does it come into existence on its own? This doesn't happen. Also, it was mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu was invited once to debate with an atheist. That atheist was adamant to debate with Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. They made a time to conduct this debate. People came and the person in charge, the ruler of that area came. People were awaiting for Imam Abu Hanifa to arrive. He took a while before he came to them. Now the atheist started talking. "What is your scholar? I've been waiting for him for such and such time. Why he's late?" Until Imam Abu Hanifa came. So when Imam Abu Hanifa arrived, this atheist said to him, "Why you're late?" Imam Abu Hanifa said to him, "If I were to say to you that I was coming to you on time, however, I reached the river and I had no boat to use it to cross the river with. So I was thinking, how would I cross that river without a boat? Then I saw a tree falling off. Then I was watching the tree being cut into pieces. Then these pieces were getting structured on their own until they became a boat. And I went into that boat and I used it to cross the river. Then I came to you. Would you believe me?" Then that atheist started laughing. He said, "Is that what you call a scholar?" And he's claiming that a boat was structured by itself, made and formed by itself, and that he used it to come to us. Then Imam Abu Hanifa said to him, "If you cannot believe that a small boat can be structured by itself, how could you believe that this whole universe would come into existence without a creator?" And he had no answer. He had no answer. Simple proof, but for the one whose heart is open, would realize that this is a simple proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu was asked once, "What's the proof about the existence of God?" And he said to them, The leaves of mulberry trees. He said to them, "You can see that they taste the same, especially if they are from the same tree. They taste the same, they look the same, they smell the same, and they have the same ingredients." They said, "Yes, the leaves of mulberry trees." Then he said to them, "When the bee eats from it, It produces honey. The deer eats from it. It produces musk. Musk is taken from deer. In its belly, it has like a bag of musk. It grows. Then it goes, this deer, to a rock. It rubs its stomach, its belly. It's like appendix from outside. It rubs its stomach against the rock. It falls off. And those who trace the musk, they go to these containers. It's like sacks of musk. They find them in the mountains where there are these there, and they take them. So the deer eats from the same mulberry leaves, they produce musk. If the sheep or cow eats from it, it produces milk. If, let us say, a horse or a mule eats from it, it produces the feces. The silkworms eat from them, they produce silk. Same mulberry trees, if eaten by these different animals and insects, they produce something totally different. So what's common between honey, musk, milk, silk, and the feces? They're all different. Smell different, taste different, and they have different ingredients and characteristics from the same tree. He said that's the proof about the existence of Allah. Many in that same session embrace Islam after hearing that from Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. It's very simple. The proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very simple. When you look at yourself, you know that you were born at a time, you are changing, you know you are not changing yourself. You know how we grow older, we start having gray hair, so we are changing, or your hair starts falling off and the like. So all these changes happening to you, you know for sure you're not the one who is making these changes. Otherwise, everyone would prefer to be young, not to reach that old age, not to be aged after a while. He would prefer to be in the young age. And you know your mother or your father got nothing to do with that change in yourself. So who is changing you? The Creator. Because you are a creation. And because once you know that you are changing, and change is the most obvious sign that you are a creation, and you know that the one who created you is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. So you don't worship a human being, because he's a human being like you. You don't worship another creation. You don't worship the sun, the moon, or the tree, because all these are creations created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you know that the true religion is the religion that calls one to worship Allah alone without associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the message of Islam. When we say Islam, Islam means submission. Submission, to submit yourself to the Creator of the universe. That's the meaning of Islam. It's not salam. Salam means peace. And Islam urges for peace. But the meaning of Islam, it's derived from submission. Because one submits himself to God, to worshipping the Creator, the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He doesn't worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator of the universe. That's the meaning of Islam. When you look around you and you realize that you are a creation and there is a Creator for you, you know that the right thing is to worship that Creator, the one who created you, not to worship other than God. The true religion is the religion that calls you to worship Allah, the Creator alone, without associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the simple proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you talk about the fact that the Creator does not resemble the creations in any way, because God is not a human being. That's why we as Muslims, we do not worship the prophets. We love them, we glorify them, we dignify them, but we do not raise any of them to the rank of Godhood. So we love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last prophet. We love Prophet Jesus, who was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love Prophet Moses as well, and we love all the prophets, but we do not raise any of them to the rank of Godhood, because they are creations. They live, they were born at a time, and many of the prophets, most of them, except for Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Al-Khadr, as some scholars said, who are alive. But the rest died. They lived at a time, then they died. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam lived for 63 years, after which he passed away. Prophet Moses, same, lived for a period of time, then he passed away. Prophet Abraham, same. All the prophets lived for a period of time, then they passed away, except for Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, is still alive. So Prophet Isa alayhi salam was saved. He was raised alive and awake to the sky. Before the day for judgment, Prophet Jesus will descend to earth, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. When he descends to earth, the Muslims will follow him, and many people from the people of the book will realize that Jesus never said to people, worship me. Never said to people, worship my mother. Rather, he used to call them to worship God. So going back to what we started with, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, everyone is born ready to accept Islam. Ready to accept Islam. Until he reaches the age of mental discrimination around 7, his parents, if they are Muslims, they teach him Islam, and he will remain steadfast based on that oath or the confession that he made at the time of Prophet Adam, when the angel gave them the message from God that your Lord is asking you to testify, and they all the souls testify that no one is God except Allah. They all testified at that time. So he might remain steadfast on this confession. Or his parents might be non-Muslims following another religion. They teach him that religion and he will follow them in that religion. That's the meaning of everyone is born ala al-fitra. The Prophet didn't say everyone is born Muslim. So if one is born Muslim, then he changed to another religion, then re-embrace Islam, yeah, you call him a revert in that case. But not everyone is born Muslim. And the biggest proof about this as well, if that child dies at the age of 2 or 3, when a child from Muslim parents dies, he's a child 2, 3, 4, whatever, we take him, we wash him, we shroud him, we pray for him, the funeral prayer, and we bury him in the Muslim cemetery. But we don't do the same with the children of parents following other than the religion of Islam. Why? Because they are not dealt with as Muslims. They are not dealt with as Muslims. So that's why this statement that everyone is born Muslim is not correct. We say everyone is born ready to accept Islam. Why? Because his soul one day in the past made a confession that no one is God except Allah. I know some people try to use that term riva, although it's not applicable, but they want to encourage someone as if they're telling him, one day you were Muslim, then you changed, now you're going back to your original state to being Muslim as before. But there is no need to make a false claim to encourage someone to become a Muslim. It's enough to encourage one to become Muslim by saying, once you embrace Islam, Allah promised that all your past sins will be forgiven, will be wiped out. All of them will be like a newborn baby. No sins. No matter what. All the, even if he had sins like mountains before embracing Islam, once a person embraces Islam, all his past sins will be wiped out. So even if you have a big file in your life with many sins, they will be deleted. By embracing Islam, all these past sins will be wiped out. That's to encourage someone. Why? This is encouragement, and he won't be asked to make up the prayers that he missed or fasting the days of Ramadan that he missed when he wasn't in the state of Islam. No, he won't be asked to make them up. That's the encouragement for such a person. And also I would like to remind you that putting effort to propagate this message, now I gave you many proofs, you can summarize these proofs, and you talk to people, all those whose heart is open will accept that message. If you help someone becoming Muslim, and you become the reason for this person's embracement of Islam, you will be rewarded greatly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, if Allah were to guide someone by you to the religion of Islam, that would be better for you than everything the sun had risen on. Everything in this life, so from east to west. And also in another narration, he said, would be better for you than this world and everything in it. All the worldly pleasures. In another narration, would be better for you than the best types of al-an'am, from the camels, cattle, sheep, and goats, from the best qualities. Because the Arabs at that time, if they own the best kinds of camels, cattle, sheep, and goats, they would classify this as very precious for them. So from the top quality ones, that would be better for you than owning from the top quality of these animals. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man aslama ala yadayhi rajulun dakhala al-jannah." So good tidings is given to one that he will be in paradise if he was the reason behind a person's embracement of Islam. So that's why you should not be shy, because your religion is the religion that is supported with the logic proof. Everyone who has a sound mind, when listening to you talking about this matter, they will accept unless they are stubborn. They will accept because everything you mention to them agrees with the logic proof and the sound mind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on Islam and to make us a reason for many to embrace Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.